Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What time is it?
It's Brownie time!
Excuse me. Couldn't get to the cough button there in time.
Didn't notice.
Did you just put on your Cubs World Series ring?
It feels good. And I know how much you hate the fact that I got a ring.
Yeah, the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest middle linebackers in Bears history, indeed, down here with Mike Singletary.
Did you see Die Hard?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That was awesome.
Thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Samurai.
Down to Mark Grody.
Hey, Cordero, can I get a couple minutes with you here,
man? I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it's been kind of a devastating day for me with Bubba and then the bird. So
Bubby.
And when the Patriots took a 3-0 lead.
Les, the Bears were America's team. What are you talking about?
No, they weren't. They weren't. Everybody.
Yeah, sure they were.
Everybody. You weren't down there. I was.
Mark Grody, go ahead. Unmute Mark.
Oh, here I am. Unmuted.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Hi, everybody. Hope your Saturday is off to a fantastic start. It is gorgeous in Chicago today, in downtown Chicago. The sunlight is beaming, maybe a little bit humid, but that's okay. We don't complain about weather when it's this summer. So I hope you have your earbuds in and you're listening to The Score right now. I get to be with you until 12:45 today. Steve Rosenblum has the day off today. Like I said, he refuses to do any shows that are under 2 hours in length. So I am in today to do the show with you up until the start of Cubs pregame today, which will be manned by Gabe Ramirez. Pat Hughes and Zach Zabman will be on the call. The Cubs rematch with the Red Sox. Marcus Stroman against James Paxton after the Cubs lost badly to the Red Sox yesterday, 8-3. Boston just took advantage of the wind and the Cubs did not. 5 home runs for the Reds, 4 of which were off Kyle Hendricks. We know that that is not Kyle Hendricks-ish throughout his entire career, not just this year. So hopefully that's just a one-time blip for Kyle Hendricks, who otherwise, other than his first performance back from the shoulder injury, has been excellent. He's been excellent. He's been Kyle Hendricks, so that's a good thing. The baseball was bad for the White Sox yesterday as well. They lose to the Braves by a final score of 9-0, a nightmare of a performance for Michael Kopech, where the guy didn't even make it out of the first inning. We're going to be talking plenty of baseball today on the show, including at 11:20, we'll talk about the White Sox with James Fox. He is the co-host of Future Sox, the Future Sox pod. He is also a writer for the Sox Machine. And we'll focus a little bit on the game and a couple of things that went down last night. But mostly with James Fox, we will look for viable trade partners with James. We will also look at what is in the White Sox farm system right now. So we're going to have some fun with James Fox a little bit later on in the name of moving forward with the Chicago White Sox, because I think that that's what it's all about. At 11:45, we will go to Wrigley Field, where the beautiful ambient sounds will be heard. The Wrigley Field will be filling in. Yeah, it's the Wrigley Field now. Gabe Ramirez will join us. Gabe Ramirez, the regular host of the evening show on 670 The Score, will be with us at 11:45. Live from Wrigley Field for a scene setter. He is doing the pregame today. At noon today, I think we could talk about whatever we want to talk about with Paul Sullivan, the writer and columnist for the Chicago Tribune. We will zero in on baseball. We'll talk to him about the baseball at Northwestern because, per John Morosi, Northwestern is interested in the guy that was doing the color commentating last night during the Cubs game. Yeah.
Joe Girardi, reportedly a candidate for Northwestern baseball. Mark Loretta also is on the early list, according to the Morosi report. And then a Sox person, Chris Getz. Chris Getz, the Sox assistant GM, is on the list. And then they throw in, or I should say John Morosi throws in, Ben Greenspan, highly regarded Michigan assistant, could also be considered. So we will get into some of that with Paul Sullivan, and he, of course, is very adept at talking about our baseball teams as well. I want to start with the Bears today, though, because I've been filling in, or I filled in yesterday, with David Haugh on the Mully and Haugh Show. We just started to discuss Jalen Johnson, the Bears' top cornerback, and it was about, where are we now? What is the date today? July 13th, 14th, something like that?
July 15th.
July 15th.
You were getting there.
I'm a something like that date guy. Somebody asked me what the date is. I said something like that. When during the OTAs, when Jalen Johnson did show up to the third one, I remember he sat out a couple and he explained himself taking care of the kids. But one of the things that he shared with us in the name of, you know, Jalen Johnson is eligible now for a contract extension, and he did reveal to us in June that at the time he did not have an agent, but he also told us, all of us, this wasn't like a proprietary thing, he told everybody that he would be hiring an agent, and he's done it. He has reportedly hired the Family for Life agency, so he told us that he is represented. So what does that mean in the big picture now in terms of Jalen Johnson and potentially getting a contract extension, as Haugh brought up, maybe a holdout, and what's going to happen in terms of the Bears' value on him and how much he values the Bears? This morning, I went back and I listened to Jalen Johnson when he spoke to us, and I pulled three cuts that I thought would probably bring the most texture to this conversation. And first of all, first cut we're going to do here, Jalen Johnson, as I said, eligible for the extension. The question to Jalen Johnson is, and again, remember, this is in June, so this is a little bit, about a month ago or so. So things may have changed in his brain, but I want to give you an idea of how he was thinking and maybe still is thinking to some degree.
I mean, for me, I don't have to do too much. I just go out and continue to be who I am, continue to be the player I am, keep getting better, keep finding ways to improve my game, and then really just find ways to win. I think for me, I'm not too worried about it. I mean, of course, the contracts and stuff, there are going to be talks, there's going to be some things that get brought up, but at the end of the day, that's above me to an extent, just trying to stay focused and keep the main thing, and when that comes up, handle that situation when it comes.
Okay. That is Jalen Johnson right there, as talking about a potential extension, and I think that is an even-headed response right there. So I think so far so good when he is discussing things in that nature. It didn't feel like when he came in that day, he came in ready to explain himself because everybody made such a big deal about him missing the voluntary practices. So he came in ready to talk about that. Let's go to Jalen Johnson number two. This is Jalen Johnson. Do you want this done, as in a potential contract extension? Do you want this done before camp?
What was your likes of our situation? It's before training camp. They want it before they get out there to the potential risks that come with training camp. Is that how you feel about it?
Nah. Honestly, I haven't even really thought about it. Y'all asking me some questions I ain't even thought about. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about the timing of it. I mean, God's will happen. I think if it's before, during, whenever it is, I'm not stressed about it. I'm not putting too much pressure on it at the end of the day. I mean, it's really above me at this point.
I like that answer too. Now, again, in my head, he's got an agent now. Could that tone have changed for Jalen Johnson? It's not out of the realm of possibility. But I like the fact that at that point, a month ago, that A, he's not worried about it. He's not thinking. It sounds to me, I can infer from that it at that time, it was in no way, shape, or form in his head to hold out or do any funny stuff or hold in, whatever the case may be. That's the way it felt. Now, in terms of Jalen Johnson earning a contract extension with this regime, a regime that
obviously did not select him. And I think that that always has to be mentioned. It may just be, you know, percentage points, you know, part of the puzzle right here. Unfortunately for Jalen Johnson, he does have something going against him in terms of getting the tip-top money in the NFL. And that is, he's got one pick in three seasons. And, yeah, for better or for worse, that is the first thing that evaluators are going to look at. Is this guy a playmaker? To some degree, I don't think that's fair, because I appreciate a guy who is a good cover corner. I mean, I think that it's such an incredibly difficult skill or craft in the NFL to stop wide receivers who know what they're doing, right? They know the cut they're going to make, and the defensive back has no idea. So you're getting beat a lot if you are a cornerback. And Jalen Johnson is a pretty good cover cornerback, as is evidenced by some of the games he had this year against some of the top wide receivers in the league. And to that point, to my point of he needs to probably play the rest of the season, or as I would advise him to play out this season and really bring up his number, because I feel like the interceptions could be coming. But here's what Jalen Johnson said, again, a month ago, in evaluating the cornerback position, and kind of what I'm saying, that not a whole lot of picks in his life so far.
To me, I think there's different tiers within the tiers. I think you have to put the category of guys together that, to me, have the hardest jobs, and I think that's following number one wide receivers. I think you take that tier, and then you create a tier of those guys. But I feel like that makes corners different. I think when you follow and you have the trust and to go to those hard downs, to continue to go to those matchups, I think you got to take those guys and then see what they do from there. And I don't think it's too many guys that consistently have number one jobs that are just going out here and getting too many interceptions. I think those tend to be the guys that kind of just stay and just play the system, play the defense, and figure out ways to take their chance to make their plays on the ball. But I think if your assignment is to take a guy out the game, I think those interceptions are very limited.
It's an interesting point. And I think that the elite guys in the league, they're going to get their picks. There are some years for guys that they just get lucky. The ball lands in their hands. And I think, you know, to some extent, some of that was going on for Eddie Jackson back in 2018. You know, he was great, and you got to have a nose for the ball and all of that. But we know that Eddie Jackson has not come close to having a season as spectacular as that since 2018, because there is some ball luck that goes down with cornerbacks. I do think that if you are an elite, if you are a top cornerback and you're not a, as he put it, a system guy, yeah, you probably should have more than one interceptions in three seasons. So I don't think there's going to be a Jalen Johnson holdout. I also don't think there's going to be a contract extension before camp, maybe before the season. But my best guess is that this is going to be a season that they will let Jalen Johnson play out this year to just show us one more time. You've been great. You are our number one cornerback, but let's roll it out. And honestly, I think that, and as much as it, as hard as it would be for a player who is on the verge of getting paid, that it would probably be very difficult to say, all right, I'm going to play this thing out and then pay me, instead of accepting a potential extension that they were offered to him. And, you know, Roquan Smith did that, and he is the highest paid inside linebacker in football right now. He was also asked about, like, how does this compare to the Roquan Smith stuff? And luckily, he basically said, paraphrasing, this has nothing to do with Roquan Smith. This is not a similar predicament to Roquan Smith. So we'll wait and see, and we'll see if his tune has changed in any way, shape, or form now that we're getting closer to camp, and now that it is a month later and Jalen Johnson has probably had time to think about all of this. The other part, too, is Tyrique Stevenson. Tyrique Stevenson, the Bears' second-round cornerback pick out of Miami, who in the OTAs and minicamps that I was at all of them, he was playing the outside, man. He was the other outside starting cornerback opposite of Jalen Johnson, with Kyler Gordon in the middle most of the time, in the slot. So he's an interesting guy to think about in terms of, They've got the guy on the rookie contract, and then could Tyreek be the guy down the line that they invest in? But I would say, and Ryan Poles has said, that cornerback is a premium position to him. He told us that before the draft this year, and duh, because that's probably the case with a lot of GMs. But Ryan Poles made a point of it, so then drafts Tariq Stevenson. If that's the case, wouldn't it be nice just to lock up the secondary, assuming that Tariq Stevenson is what the Bears think he is, what I think he might be, to lock it up and just be like, you got a pretty good secondary for a while. And you got to think about this with Eddie Jackson, too, whom the Bears really like. So if you had that defensive back with Tariq Stevenson, Jalen Johnson, Jaquan Brisker, Eddie Jackson, and then you fill in the depth pieces with maybe, you know, Terrell Smith, the fifth-round pick out of Minnesota, Josh Blackwell, who I know I've probably overraved here, but I do like Josh Blackwell. Very good undrafted free agent last year, excellent on special teams, and made the most of his opportunities to play cornerback. Jalen Jones, hot and cold last year, but he's a depth piece. And yes, Kendall Vildor, too. You're not going to see Kendall Vildor starting, but now, you know, Kendall Vildor is moving into that space of being a veteran player who is a good depth piece. So it's nice to look at that position and say, maybe that's something you can lock in for the next 4 or 5 years on your defense. So much of this, too, part of the obvious reason why, you know, maybe Jalen Johnson has not had a ton of interceptions, nor has anybody on the Bears, is because of the pressure up front. And Ryan Poles addressed some of that in this offseason with the drafting of Jervon Dexter, the drafting of Zach Pickens, both defensive linemen, one out of Florida, one out of South Carolina, the signing of defensive ends DeMarcus Walker and Shakeem Green to add to Dominique Robinson, who hopefully will have developed some coming into this year. And then maybe there's some, maybe you could pull the, you know, for somebody like Travis Gibson, the desperate card, because this is it. This is it for him in terms of, he's not going to just fall out of the NFL after this year if he has another year like that, but he's not going to get the big bucks. So sometimes you got to hope for a guy for a little kick in the butt with sort of a last call attitude. So that's where I'm standing on Jalen Johnson. Training camp is coming up here in a couple of weeks. July 26th, I believe, is when everybody reports. And Jalen Johnson will certainly be a very important subject in that training camp. When we come back, let's start to get into some of the baseball. We will talk to James Fox, co-host of Future Sox and a writer for the Sox Machine, about the Sox 9-0 loss to the Braves. And we will get into prospects with him, because if the White Sox do sell, I would presume that they would be looking for some top-notch prospects, and we will find out what teams the White Sox should be dealing with. We'll also dive into the White Sox system and see what kind of players and youngins they have that we might see on the roster as the season goes on, assuming the season continues to go as it has, as the White Sox now 17 games under 500. That sounds dirty. I'm Mark Grody. Sean Sears is our executive producer.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sir, we're coming right back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And they've kind of gotten back to that over the last 6 or 7 years.
This to third base. It's Riley. It's Albies. And it's another double play. This one ends the ball game. Atlanta turns two four times tonight in a 9-0 rout of the Sox.
Jason Benetti with the call on NBC Sports Chicago about the White Sox 9-0 loss to the mighty Atlanta Braves. And they are mighty. 61-29. They are powerful. They are fast. They are good. They are the best team in baseball right now. I'm going to give a shout out to the, more than a shout out, to NBC Sports Chicago a little bit later on, because they did something on the broadcast last night which was risky, which was fun, and which was awesome, that made watching a 9-0 loss worth my while towards the end of the game. It was brilliant, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. Right now, let's get serious about this White Sox team, though. We are joined by James Fox. He is the co-host of the Future Sox Pod, writer for Sox Machine. You can find him on Twitter at JamesFox917. What's going on, James? How are you?
Hey, Mark, how are you, sir?
I am doing well. Well, let's start with Michael Kopech. For people who did not watch the game last night, he goes two-thirds of an inning, allowed four runs on four hits. He walked four, so again, did not make it out of the first inning. Matt Olson just reared up and cracked a grand slam on a groove fastball right on the inside part. It was like Olson just kind of stepped back and said, I'm going to slug this ball, and he did. What do you make of the Michael Kopech performance last night?
Yes, I mean, it's obviously, like, not good on the long rest that he's had, right? I mean, they put him on the injured list, but they kind of, like, said that he wasn't really injured. They just used that to get the break because he was tired or sore, Pedro Grifol said. So, you know, it's just, like, the same thing with this team, I feel like, all the time, where you don't really know who's in charge or who's making what decisions, or if Michael Kopech's fine or if he's not fine. So, you know, I just think it's, like, the same, like, cycle over and over again. I mean, I think at this point, like, for Kopech, like, innings are the most important thing, you know, and I think they're going to keep him in the rotation. I think that's probably the right move. But if you have lots of starts like this and then you don't pitch again for 5 or 6 days, like, it's tough to, like, build up the innings that you're, you know, eventually going to need to be the starter that he wants to be and the starter that they think he can be. But, I mean, you know, like, the clock's kind of ticking here. Michael Kopech's, like, 27, I think, now.
Yeah.
So, you know, where we've kind of been talking about the potential of Michael Kopech forever, to the point where, you know, maybe he's just a number four starter that can look really good, you know, occasionally.
That's hard to take, you know. I mean, considering what he was and the promise when he came up with the White Sox and sort of the phenom talk as well. But I get what you're saying. And to your point, too, Kopech has not pitched five innings since June 10th against Minnesota. Now, it obviously has to be pointed out that he, and this is part of what you were saying, he on June 29th, he goes on the injured list with the shoulder inflammation. So I was thinking the same thing, man. I mean, like, I hate to give guys excuses, but it's a shoulder injury, and Kopech has a huge history of big and small injuries. The guy's been injured a lot. So when you say, who's making the decisions, whose you know, idea is it to put him out there or not put him out there, that's a tough thing to hear, James. It sounds like you're saying that there's just a lack of communication or competence.
Yeah, both, I think. I mean, so Grifol said last night something like, oh, he felt good tonight. It's like, and he just pitched bad, which, okay, fine, like, that happens. But, you know, then how do you explain away the last four starts? He said, oh, he was sore for those. So it's like, okay, well, I mean, you know, like, he's either injured or he's not, right? I mean, like, pro athletes are hurt all the time, and they just keep playing. So are you hurt? Are you injured? Can you pitch? Can you not pitch? I think once you take the mound, like, it kind of really, like, can't be the excuse anymore, like, when you pitch bad. Like, oh, I you know, you didn't feel that well. Well, maybe you shouldn't be pitching then. And the White Sox have played injured players pretty frequently here over the last few years, it seems like.
yeah, parade of it last year. I mean, they were famous for it in the last year of Tony La Russa. White Sox again lose to the Braves last night, 9-0. I'm Mark Grody here on The Score. We're talking to James Fox, co-host of the Future Sox Pod, writer for the Sox Machine. Let's start talking about some young players. And actually, before we get to the prospects, I want to talk about a really interesting and exciting, unfortunately for the Sox, exciting player that the White Sox will see today. Lance Lynn, who was great in his last outing for the White Sox, drawing Spencer Strider 11-2 with a 3.44 ERA, 24 years old. James Fox, tell us about Spencer Strider for people who are just now starting to hear about this kid.
Well, he was like a late draft pick, too. I think he was like a fifth rounder, ended up being Rookie of the Year, right? Like, just awesome. I mean, I think the Braves, you know, they're up there, right? As, I mean, they're the best team in baseball right now. Are they the best organization in baseball? I think we talk Rays, we talk Dodgers. They're definitely in there. The Braves farm system right now is not very good. It's like probably bottom three in the sport, but that's mostly because of some of the high profile trades they've made for stars. But then they kind of just keep bringing up players that are good though, regardless of those rankings. And Spencer Strider is one of them. Spencer Strider was not a first round pick. It's just like a guy that they took, that they developed within their system. And now he's, you know, one of the better pitchers in the National League. The Sox have trouble with, you know, with average right-handed pitchers. So, you know, I don't expect this to go very well today, obviously.
You know what to do on your gambling app, everybody. That right there. So Lance Lynn against Spencer Strider. And, you know, hope for Lance Lynn, man. He had 7 shutout in that awful game against Toronto. 7 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts. More of what White Sox fans saw of Lance Lynn early in his Sox career. So for the sake of, well, the team now and potential trades, let's hope for Lance Lynn to do good things today. You mentioned, James Fox, that Atlanta is one of those teams that, you know, is a good organization, but they are not full right now in terms of prospects. For the sake of the White Sox, and if they sell and they want to acquire young players, what organizations should we be thinking about?
Yeah, so I think like Cincinnati right now is like at that stage where they're absolutely loaded. They can win the NL Central. How much of like their depth do they want to chip into to do that, right? But like I definitely could see them as one of the Lucas Giolito teams for sure. And then look, I think you're always, anytime you hear the Dodgers interested in like one of your players, I think that's a good thing too, because their farm system is loaded to the point where they're not going to be wrong a ton, right? Where, but they have so many prospects that they have so many blocked prospects that you can generally get something pretty good from them. And then honestly, like Baltimore really interests me just because they have pitching needs for years and years. They've loaded up in the draft and on the international market with hitters, and they've been right in most cases. That system is loaded with young left-handed bats. So look, I don't know that the White Sox are going to consider trading like a Dylan Cease, but you know, like if you got to that point where you get something that you can't turn down, I think Dodgers, Baltimore, you know, the Reds are a candidate. Like a lot of those win now teams, you know who all of them are, but I think those three systems are three that kind of would fit some of the needs that you might be looking for in a deal.
Is Dylan Cease the guy that you would draw the most for if you were to trade him?
I think so, because it's 2.5 years. I mean, Giolito's been really good. You know, I think what, Giolito and, you know, Marcus Stroman, obviously, and there's Jack Flaherty in St. Louis. Those guys are all rentals. They're all really good. They're all going to help somebody. But, I mean, that's like 8 to 10 starts probably. I think with Dylan Cease, it would be 2.5 seasons. So, look, I don't know that the White Sox are going to do it, but I think, like, a big question they have to ask is, like, next year. Like, what are you next year? Like, can you win next year? And, you know, if you make the determination that that answer is no, you should probably consider at least listening on Dylan Cease and seeing what you can get for him at the peak of his value.
Yeah.
Because the alternative is you go into next season with Dylan Cease and like you're not a contender and you win 74 games and then, you know, then you're trading him with 1 year left and you're not getting nearly as much. So, you know, I know people like don't want to hear that. And Dylan Cease is a Scott Boras client that I don't think is signing an extension with you or anyone prior to free agency. So I just think when the White Sox are in a position that they're in, like I'd probably consider anybody other than I'd keep Luis Robert, but everybody else, I don't know why you wouldn't at least take offers on or listen right now.
Absolutely. It's not responsible to not listen considering what is going on with the organization right now. Last thing for you, James Fox, which Sox players in their system right now could we potentially see later this year or even at the start of next year to start to get people thinking about the prospects the Sox have right now?
Right, so I think there's a few guys that you could, like, you know, like Lenin Sosa could come back. And, like, look, he's had a lot of minor league success, wasn't very good in 103 big league plate appearances. There's no reason for that guy not to be your second baseman for the rest of the season. Find out what he is. He might be nothing, and we might ultimately find that out. But, you know, it's a better plan than playing Elvis Andrus every day. You know, you have Carlos Perez as a catcher. Doesn't necessarily project to a starter, but, I mean, look, that's another guy that could be on next year's team. I think you're in a position where these guys need to be playing, and then obviously Oscar Colas. They don't have a ton of close to the majors pitching depth. You could see like a former second round pick, Matthew Thompson, was a guy on the prep side, or like a Sean Burke. Like any of those guys could make starts this year, but I think next year is where you really see it. Colson Montgomery should be heading out to Birmingham within the next week. He's going to play in the Arizona Fall League. The way the White Sox do things, I would not be surprised if we see Colson Montgomery like by midseason next year. And, you know, there are lots of really smart people that do this that think Colson Montgomery is going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the hope, right? That's like the next guy that you really want to see. But I think that's like maybe early next year at the absolute soonest.
James, great information as always. And I'm sure we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yep. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You got it. That is James Fox, co-host of the Future Sox Pod, writer for the Sox Machine, and you could catch him on Twitter. You should follow him right now. He is at JamesFox917 because, for better or for worse, you're going to need to know about the young players all over baseball and in the White Sox system because this core is going downhill as it stands right now. When we return here, we are going to go to Wrigley Field and bring in today's pre- and post-game show host. That is Gabe Ramirez, the regular evening show host here on 670 The Score. He will join us live from the press box next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back in on The Score. I'm Mark Grody, Cubs host, Boston. Today, a 120 game. That's pretty cool. Cubs and Red Sox in 80-degree weather at a classic ballpark. That's sweet. Cubs lost to the Red Sox yesterday. 8-3, the final score. 5 home runs for the Red Sox, 4 of which were off of Kyle Hendricks, who goes 4 2/3, a lot of 5 runs on 8 hits. Not what you were looking for right out of the break for the Cubs, that is for sure. They're now 42-48, 7 games back in the National League Central. The man whose voice you just heard there, yelling, was Gabe Ramirez. I hear you, Gabe.
Was I yelling? I mean, was it when you're calling a goal for a team, is that yelling or is it, you know, loud appreciation in the moment?
Well, you know? Honestly, you know who's producing today? It's Shady Sears, and he just played it, yeah. And I didn't know the context of it. So to me, it's just, at first I didn't even know it was you, and he said, "Oh, that's Gabe right there." See, now I hear it.
He knows that I am going to be the in-game host for the Chicago Fire game later on tonight. I'm on double duty, so he's trying to poke fun at me knowing that I have a long day today.
All right, Gabe is at Wrigley Field. He is doing pre and post today out of the ballpark. He did it yesterday as well. He's done pre and post before. But first, before we get into your experience and what we're going to dig into the game from yesterday and some of your observations, let me just read this is written by your guy, your regular evening producer here on The Score, written by Sean Sears. So I'm just going to read this. Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, evenings host for B96, in-game host for the Chicago Fire, talks gambling on BetQL, former boy band singer, is good at everything. He's on Twitter at Chicago_Gabe.
Sean loves me low-key. That's the thing, Shade. That's the thing, girl. He really does love me deep down in his heart. But all those things are accurate. I think he left out father.
Yeah.
I think he left out a couple of my part-time jobs.
Friend of Mark Grody.
Yeah, friend of Mark Grody. Yeah, host of Lollapalooza.
Oh, dude.
Live broadcast on Hulu.
Oh, my God. Too, so. We're going to talk about that, too. But let's get into the Cubs. Cubs and Red Sox, today you're going to get to witness the Stroh Show, Marcus Stroman against James Paxton up close. What's it like out there right now? And it's got to be pretty cool seeing like two classic uniforms, Cubs and Red Sox, out there.
Absolutely. It was amazing yesterday seeing it, Mark. Just the fans roll in, the Boston Red Sox fans specifically. But today's a different day. It's the sun is shining. As I was taking the red line in to Wrigley, getting off at the Addison stop, more people than I had seen yesterday, 2 hours prior to the game. Clark Street is jam-packed. People are outside. Families are out there. So the energy is palpable here at Wrigley Field, most certainly.
What happened last night? Was it as simple as the wind was blowing out and one team took advantage? What did you see from Kyle Hendricks and the Cubs yesterday?
I mean, it's difficult, right? To have the expectation that Kyle Hendricks is going to come out every start for the remainder of the year and be the professor that we know him to be is again, those are high expectations that you're placing on him. So, you know, you were going to get that bump at some point in time. Pat Hughes, who was calling the game yesterday, said he's seen, you know, pretty much all of Kyle Hendricks starts and never once seen him give up as many home runs in an outing. So I think it was more so just the time off. Kyle Hendricks, you know, obviously was on a roll, feeling good. And that All-Star break can do something to you when you add some days in between starts. Rafael Devers, of course, hitting back-to-back bombs, and it looked simple. The first one, Grotes was on that changeup. Second one, fastball inside. He just turned on it, took it to the next level. And the Cubs, unfortunately, just couldn't put it together enough runs. Every time they would try to get close, the Red Sox would just distance themselves, whether it be via the long ball or just, you know, manufacturing some runs. So a tough day for the Cubs, but I think with Stroman here, another thing that Pat Hughes mentioned yesterday, there's going to be a ton of scouts in the stands today watching Marcus Stroman from several teams.
That's such a great point. Yeah, Stroman 9-6 with a .296. He's been a little bit, I don't know what the word is, a little wobbly recently, but obviously he's been their best pitcher. His trade value is high. And that's what a lot of the talk is about. James Paxton, the man on the mound today for the Red Sox, 5-1 with a .273. Cody Bellinger took advantage of the wind yesterday. I have a huge appreciation always for opposite field home runs, especially when it's a huge bat like Cody Bellinger's.
Well, you know what? Frank Thomas had the opportunity to speak with Freddie Freeman the other day, and they were talking about it, right? If your approach is hitting it to left center, right, the opposite side, if you're, you know, batting from the left side, then anything that's off speed, you're going to be able to turn on it and really get a good hack at it. And I think that's exactly what we saw from Cody Bellinger yesterday, where, you know, it was just the power and the timing of the right hit that allowed him to do it. And let's be honest, I mean, Cody's on fire right now. Hits in 14 out of his last, well, now 15 out of his last 16 games, and which is just incredible when you're thinking about where he was at the beginning of the season. So he more than likely felt that pressure, put the team on his back, get some runs on the board. There was one instance where there was bases loaded, Seiya was up, and if Seiya would have got on, you know, I started thinking to myself, I'm looking at Cody Bellinger, and you're thinking, you know, he was on deck, and you're like, you know, I know Cody wants to get up there. He's feeling good today, has two bombs. He wants to get to the plate, had a bomb, wanted to get to the plate. Seiya gets out, and then the very next at bat, in the next inning, he hits that home run. So I know he was feeling a certain type of way about wanting to put this Cubs team on his back.
I want to talk more about the Cubs radio booth and your experiences there. I also want to ask you about Hulu, which is about the coolest thing in the world. But may I, Gabe, and you can say no if you'd like, may I ask you some White Sox questions?
Nothing is off limit when it comes to our conversations.
I know that. The Braves beat the White Sox yesterday 9-0. Michael Kopech didn't make it out of the first inning. As you're watching that game, maybe you weren't watching that game, but when you see the reaction or you see the score and what went down with Michael Kopech, what are you thinking as a White Sox fan right now?
Yeah, I think David Hall put it best on his Twitter account and said, why is Michael Kopech starting game one out of the All-Star break? And I think when you see the performance, it's not shocking. It's nothing out of the ordinary. Michael Kopech is as consistent can be this season. So this is what you expect when you look at the box score. It is either going to be a 7-inning, 100-pitch, 8-strikeout type performance, or it's going to be like it was yesterday, something that's sub-5 innings where he can't find the strike zone, giving up the long ball. You see he couldn't, you know, he's walking a ton of people as well. I mean, we talked to Steve Stone. I think it was you and I, Grody, where we talked to Steve Stone, and he said, or maybe not, but he said, you know, what's going on with Michael Kopech is not between the ears.
He did say that. Yep.
That was interesting to me for Stoney to say that. He said it's just more about the mechanics and having faith in what it is that he can do. So, I mean, clearly he is what most people would like him to be, a finished product. He is still a work in progress, and I think that was evident yesterday.
Yeah, and as I was just talking to James Fox, the co-host of Future Sox and a writer for Sox Machine, and he made the point too, and it does sound weird to say, Michael Kopech is 27, and it sounds weird because he was always the young phenom, and now just the bumps, literal bumps and bruises and really bad injuries, the clock is ticking. Could you imagine a world without Michael Kopech, or in, as another thing that I brought up to Steve Stone, he didn't like it, but the idea that maybe he's better off in a down the road in a bullpen role.
I think, Grody, and I'm glad that you verified that it was you and I that were talking to
it
Steve
was,
Stone that
yeah,
day.
Yeah.
And then that was a great conversation and great question that you asked, because when you're thinking about Kopech and you're trying to put a guy in the best situation to be the best version of himself, what does that look like? But think about it, girl. Imagine if he was coming out in the ninth inning in a two-run game, and you saw what he did in the first inning of last game. So it's not as though his best stuff is right out of the gate, and, you know, because Michael Kopech is throwing hard from the very beginning, regardless of when he gets in the game. But, you know, if you do move on from a guy like Liam Hendricks, if you do move on from a Reynaldo Lopez, Kendall Graveman, I mean, who is going to fill that void as a closer? Now, the White Sox, of course, would love Michael Kopech to be that top of the rotation kind of a guy. Even if he was like a number three or four, no one would feel bad about that in terms of, you know, getting him on your squad. But I think you have to look at all possibilities. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, Pedro Grifols seems like the guy who, you know, he's like, hey, this is what it is and this is what it's going to be, and not really in the mood for much changes. So I can't imagine something like that happening. But I do want Michael Kopech to pitch well. I want him to be a guy that can contribute to this White Sox team.
Yeah, I know. It feels like time is running out, and it seemed like he was, you know, he was. He was one of the faces of the rebuild for sure. The voice that you are hearing live from Wrigley Field is Gabe Ramirez. He is getting ready to host the pregame show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Cubs and Red Sox. That pregame will take place at 12:45. Marcus Stroman, the Stro Show, making the first pitch at 1:20. Well, we went through the myriad gigs that you have right now, including the evening host at The Score. You work with the Chicago Fire. You're a big-time gambler, so you talk about that on BetQL, former boy band singer, all of that. One of the coolest things you're doing right now, first of all, I'm a little jelly, because one of my favorite things in the world is live music, and I love Lollapalooza. And this guy, Gabe Ramirez, is going to be working at Lollapalooza on the TV, on a hip place with a hip person. Tell us everything that you're going to be doing for Lollapalooza, Gabe.
Yeah, first, you know, I would encourage everybody to just follow me on social media,
please.
Chicago _ Gabe. That way, you know, you can see all of the happenings, because I'm going to have some really cool behind the scenes backstage footage. So I am going to be hosting Lollapalooza's live broadcast on Hulu. When I first got the gig, I thought it was Hulu's live broadcast of Lollapalooza, and then I quickly realized that I'm actually working for the people of Lollapalooza via Hulu.
That's so cool.
I'm going to be doing that. Going to be in the artist lounge, interviewing a ton of people, artists. We're trying to get some athletes out there. We got some members from the Chicago Fire working on some Bears players to get out there as well. So, I mean, it really is just an opportunity for me, a guy that's born and raised here in Chicago, to allow Chicago to permeate through the broadcast into the world so that they can get a taste of Chicago. Hey, pun right there. So they can get a taste of Chicago.
What happened?
No, I said that was my. I realized I had a pun right there.
I thought you said a punt. And so I thought maybe somebody
pun
was kicking a football around.
No.
Okay. Sometimes you and I miscommunicate. It happens, you know?
I know. And then, you know, I got to say, you know, you got a lot of fans here, Groats. I can't walk through the confines of Wrigley Field without so many people talking about
I'm sure.
Including our world famous engineer here, Mr. Zerang.
Oh, I love Paulie. Paulie Zerang. He's one of the greats, man.
So
I miss that guy already.
He said to say what's up. So I can't imagine the three of us hanging out somewhere having some dinner.
I can see it. I can see it, man. I have broken bread with the Zerangs many a time.
Really?
You have never seen people, or because they ordered together because they'd be on the same bill, obviously. You know, we all got our little credit cards. And him and his brother, Little Z, those two guys, they put on a clinic when it comes to order, like seafood towers, everything. Like, you're taken care of before, and we all benefit because, you know, they can't take it all down.
Right. Well, I want to sit at the chef's table grandpa so he can be there with Groats and we can have some good food. But all on Grody, though.
Yeah.
I don't care how many jobs he just announced that I had.
As long as I got the old Odyssey card, I'll pay for anything, man. Mitch is always like, yeah, Groats, just pay for whatever you want. Go grab yourself a – you know what, Sean? Order a pizza right now. Get on that. So other than Paul Zerang is awesome, and my God, did the game sound good. How has the booth in general treated you, Pat Hughes, Zach Zaidman, Paul Zerang, whoever else is hanging out in that booth these days?
Just absolute professionals. I think that's, you know, obviously it comes through over the broadcast, and you can't take anything away from that. Zach does a phenomenal job. I mean, obviously he covers play-by-play a lot, but yesterday doing color in place of Rahm was just absolutely amazing. And being able to see Pat, it's one thing to watch it on the radio, listen on the radio. But when you're right here in front of Pat, I actually text our boss, Mitch, and I was like, being able to hear him right in front of you, it's like you think you got a good radio voice until you hear Pat Hughes kind of, and you're like, oh, damn.
Well, and he doesn't stumble either like the rest of us.
Exactly. You know? Oh, I had a bunch of those yesterday. But, Grody, you know, I actually broadcasted from these booths during the 2016 championship run when I was over at B96, but no one was here.
Right.
So it's a completely different experience to see the stadium empty, watch it be filled with fans, and then get to experience the game. I mean, I don't want to say I'm a Cubs fan like that, right? I appreciate I'm trying to be apolitical and in the middle for everybody. Right. But I do have a different appreciation for this team, this organization, and this ballpark after what I experienced yesterday.
That's awesome. Shady Sears just gave a weird look when you said that thing about
the Cubs.
Because
he doesn't want me to be a part of the Cubs Nation. I understand.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't think that you deserve
He's jealous. That's what it is.
He's totally jelly.
He's jealous that I'm out
He's
here.
He's totally jelly. By the way, this is probably the best time as any to ask you, did you get a couple of wristbands for Lollapalooza? Are you empowered like that, or do I have to go through underground channels to get my Lollapalooza on?
You're Mark Grody, man.
You're Gabe Ramirez.
That's a business card.
You're working for Hulu, man.
You just walk right
you're
in
my
there,
you're
right?
My first. All right. I'm going to the streets with it. I'll take it to the streets. Gabe, you're awesome, man. You're gonna have a ball out there. Have a great day, man. There he goes. That is Gabe Ramirez. Always great to talk to Gabe. He's doing the pre and post game show, sounding silky smooth like he always does. And again, Cubs and Red Sox. Just so cool to say. And it just looks pleasing, doesn't it? 1:20 today, 12:45 is the pregame. Stroman against James Paxton. When we come back, let's talk to Paul Sullivan. He's columnist for the Chicago Tribune on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man. Welcome back in on The Score. I'm Mark Grody, Cubs host. Boston today, a 1:20 game. That's pretty cool. Cubs and Red Sox in 80-degree weather at a classic ballpark. That's sweet. Cubs lost to the Red Sox yesterday, 8-3, the final score. 5 home runs for the Red Sox, 4 of which were off of Kyle Hendricks, who goes 4 2/3, a lot of 5 runs on 8 hits. Not what you were looking for right out of the break for the Cubs, that is for sure. They're now 42-48, 7 games back in the National League Central. The man whose voice you just heard there yelling was Gabe Ramirez. I hear you, Gabe.
Was I yelling? I mean, was it when you're calling a goal for a team, is that yelling or is it you know, loud appreciation in the moment.
Well,
you know?
Honestly, you know who's producing today? It's Shady Sears, and he just played it, and I didn't know the context of it. So to me, it's just, at first I didn't even know it was you, and he said, "Oh, that's Gabe right there." See, now I hear it.
He knows that I am going to be the in-game host for the Chicago Fire game later on tonight. I'm on double duty, so he's trying to poke fun at me knowing that I have a long day today.
All right, Gabe is at Wrigley Field. He is doing pre and post today out of the ballpark. He did it yesterday as well. He's done pre and post before. But first, before we get into your experience and what we're going to dig into the game from yesterday and some of your observations, let me just read This is written by your guy, your regular evening producer here on The Score, written by Sean Sears. So I'm just going to read this. Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, evening's host, host for B96, in-game host for the Chicago Fire, talks gambling on BetQL, former boy band singer, is good at everything. He's on Twitter at Chicago_Gabe.
Sean loves me low-key. That's the thing, Shade. That's the thing, girl. He really does love me. Deep down in his heart. All those things are accurate. I think he left out father.
Yeah.
I think he left out a couple of my part-time jobs.
Friend of Mark Grody.
Yeah, friend of Mark Grody. Yeah, host of Lollapalooza.
Oh, dude.
Live broadcast on Hulu.
Oh, my God. We're going to talk about that, too. But let's get into the Cubs. Cubs and Red Sox, today you're going to get to witness the Stroh Show, Marcus Stroman against James Paxton up close. What's it like out there right now? And it's got to be pretty cool seeing like two classic uniforms, Cubs and Red Sox, out there.
Absolutely. It was amazing yesterday seeing it, Mark. Just the fans roll in, the Boston Red Sox fans specifically. But today's a different day. It's the sun is shining. As I was taking the red line in to Wrigley, getting off at the Addison stop, more people than I had seen yesterday 2 hours prior to the game. Clark Street is jam-packed. People are outside. Families are out there. So the energy is palpable here at Wrigley Field, most certainly.
What happened last night? Was it as simple as the wind was blowing out and one team took advantage? What did you see from Kyle Hendricks and the Cubs yesterday?
I mean, it's difficult, right? To have the expectation that Kyle Hendricks is going to come out every start for the remainder of the year and be the professor that we know him to be is, again, those are high expectations that you're placing on him. So, you know, you were going to get that bump at some point in time. Pat Hughes, who was calling the game yesterday, said he's seen, you know, pretty much all of Kyle Hendricks starts and never once seen him give up as many home runs in an outing. So I think it was more so just the time off. Kyle Hendricks, you know, obviously was on a roll, feeling good. And that All-Star break can do something to you when you add some days in between starts. Rafael Devers, of course, hitting back-to-back bombs, and it looked simple. The first one, Grotes was on that changeup. Second one, fastball inside. He just turned on it, took it to the next level. And the Cubs, unfortunately, just couldn't put it together enough runs. Every time they would try to get close, the Red Sox would just distance themselves, whether it be via the long ball or just, you know, manufacturing some runs. So a tough day for the Cubs, but I think with Stroman here, another thing that Pat Hughes mentioned yesterday, there's going to be a ton of scouts in the stands today watching Marcus Stroman from several teams.
That's such a great point. Yeah, Stroman 9-6 with a .296. He's been a little bit, I don't know what the word is, a little wobbly recently, but obviously he's been their best pitcher. His trade value is high. And that's what a lot of the talk is about. James Paxton, the man on the mound today for the Red Sox, 5-1 with a .273. Cody Bellinger took advantage of the wind yesterday. I have a huge appreciation always for opposite field home runs, especially when it's a huge bat like Cody Bellinger's.
Well, you know what? Frank Thomas had the opportunity to speak with Freddie Freeman the other day, and they were talking about it, right? If your approach is hitting it to left center, right, the opposite side, if you're, you know, batting from the left side, then anything that's off speed, you're going to be able to turn on it and really get a good hack at it. And I think that's exactly what we saw from Cody Bellinger yesterday, where, you know, it was just the power and the timing of the right hit that allowed him to do it. And let's be honest, I mean, Cody's on fire right now. Hits in 14 out of his last, well, now 15 out of his last 16 games, and which is just incredible when you're thinking about where he was at the beginning of the season. So he more than likely felt that pressure, put the team on his back, get some runs on the board. There was one instance where there was bases loaded, Seiya was up, and if Seiya would have got on, you know, I started thinking to myself, I'm looking at Cody Bellinger, and you're thinking, you know, he was on deck, and you're like, you know, I know Cody wants to get up there. He's feeling good today, has two bombs. He wants to get to the plate. Had a bomb, wanted to get to the plate, Seiya gets out, and then the very next at bat in the next inning, he hits that home run. So I know he was feeling a certain type of way about wanting to put this Cubs team on his back.
I want to talk more about the the Cubs radio booth and your experiences there. I also want to ask you about Hulu, which is about the coolest thing in the world. But may I, Gabe, and you can say no if you'd like, may I ask you some White Sox questions?
Nothing is off limit when it comes to our conversations.
I know that.
You know this.
I know that. The Braves beat the White Sox yesterday 9-0. Michael Kopech didn't make it out of the first inning. As you're watching that game, maybe you weren't watching that game. But when you see that, when you see the reaction or you see the score and what went down with Michael Kopech, what are you thinking as a White Sox fan right now?
Yeah, I think David Hall put it best on his Twitter account and said, "Why is Michael Kopech starting game one out of the All-Star break?" And I think when you see the performance, it's not shocking. It's nothing out of the ordinary. Michael Kopech is as consistent can be this season. So this is what you expect when you look at the box score. It is either going to be a 7-inning, 100-pitch, 7-strikeout, 8-strikeout type performance, or it's going to be like it was yesterday, something that's sub 5 innings where he can't find the strike zone, giving up the long ball. You see he couldn't, you know, he's walking a ton of people as well. I mean, We talked to Steve Stone. I think it was you and I, Grody, where we talked to Steve Stone, and he said, or maybe not, but he said, you know, what's going on with Michael Kopech is not between the ears.
He did say that.
That was interesting to me for Stoney to say that. He said it's just more about the mechanics and having faith in what it is that he can do. So, I mean, clearly he is what most people would like him to be, a finished product. He is still a work in progress, and I think that was evident yesterday.
Yeah, and I was just talking to James Fox, the co-host of Future Sox and a writer for Sox Machine, and he made the point too, and it does sound weird to say, Michael Kopech is 27, and it sounds weird because he was always the young phenom, and now just the bumps, literal bumps and bruises and really bad injuries, the clock is ticking. Could you imagine a world without Michael Kopech, or in, as another thing that I brought up to Steve Stone, he didn't like it, but the idea that maybe he's better off in a down the road in a bullpen role.
I think, Grody, and I'm glad that you verified that it was you and I that were talking to
it
Steve
was,
Stone that day.
Yeah.
And that was a great conversation and great question that you asked, because when you're thinking about Kopech and you're trying to put a guy in the best situation to be the best version of himself, what does that look like? But think about it, girl. Imagine if he was coming out in the ninth inning in a two-run game, and you saw what he did in the first inning of last game. So it's not as though his best stuff is right out of the gate. And, you know, because Michael Kopech is throwing hard from the very beginning, regardless of when he gets in the game. But, you know, if you do move on from a guy like Liam Hendricks, if you do move on from a Reynaldo Lopez, Kendall Graveman, I mean, who is going to fill that void as a closer? Now, the White Sox, of course, would love Michael Kopech to be that top of the rotation kind of a guy. Even if he was like a number 3 or 4, no one would feel bad about that in terms of, you know, getting him on your squad. But I think you have to look at all possibilities. And I think that, you know, unfortunately, Pedro Grifol seems like the guy who, you know, he's like, hey, this is what it is and this is what it's going to be, and not really in the mood for much changes. So I can't imagine something like that happening. But I do want Michael Kopech to pitch well. I want him to be a guy that can contribute to this White Sox team.
Yeah, I know. It feels like time is running out, and it seemed like he was, you know, he was. He was one of the faces of the rebuild for sure. The voice that you are hearing live from Wrigley Field is Gabe Ramirez. He is getting ready to host the pregame show right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Cubs and Red Sox. That pregame will take place at 12:45. Marcus Stroman, the Stro Show, making the first pitch at 1:20. Well, we went through the myriad gigs that you have right now, including the evening host at The Score. You work with the Chicago Fire. You're a big-time gambler, so you talk about that on BetQL, former boy band singer, all of that. One of the coolest things you're doing right now, first of all, I'm a little jelly, because one of my favorite things in the world is live music, and I love Lollapalooza. And this guy, Gabe Ramirez, is going to be working at Lollapalooza on the TV, on a hip place with a hip person. Tell us everything that you're going to be doing for Lollapalooza, Gabe.
Yeah, first, you know, I would encourage everybody to just follow me on social media, Chicago_Gabe. That way, you know, you can see all of the happenings, because I'm going to have some really cool behind the scenes backstage footage. So I am going to be hosting Lollapalooza's live broadcast on Hulu. When I first got the gig, I thought it was Hulu's live broadcast of Lollapalooza, and then I quickly realized that I'm actually working for the people. people of Lollapalooza via Hulu.
That's so cool.
I'm going to be doing that. Going to be in the Artist Lounge, interviewing a ton of people, artists. Oh. We're trying to get some athletes out there. Oh. We got some members from the Chicago Fire working on some Bears players to get out there as well. So, I mean, it really is just an opportunity for me, a guy that's born and raised here in Chicago, to allow Chicago to permeate through the broadcast in, into the world so that they can get a taste of Chicago. Hey, pun right there. So they can get a taste of Chicago.
What happened? What happened?
No, I said that was my. I realized I had a pun right there.
I said, oh, I thought
taste
you said
of Chicago.
Oh, I thought you said a punt, and so I thought maybe somebody was kicking a football around.
No.
Okay. Sometimes you and I miscommunicate. It happens, you know.
I know. And then you know, I got to say, you know, you got a lot of fans here, Groats. I can't walk through the confines of Wrigley Field without so many people talking.
Oh,
about,
I'm sure.
Including our world famous engineer here, Mr. Zerang.
Oh, I love Paulie. Paulie Zerang. He's one of the greats, man.
So
I miss that guy already.
He said to say what's up. So I can't imagine the three of us hanging out somewhere having some dinner.
Oh, I can see it. I can see it, man. Oh, I have broken bread with the Zerangs many a time.
Really?
You have never seen people, or because they ordered together because they'd be on the same bill, obviously. And then we all got our little credit cards. And him and his brother, Little Z, those two guys, they put on a clinic when it comes to order, like seafood towers, you're taken care of before. And we all benefit because, you know, they can't take it all down.
Right. Well, I want to sit at the chef's table, Paul, so we can be there with Groats and we can have some good food. But all on Grody, though.
Yeah.
I don't care how many jobs he just announced that I had.
As long as I got the old Odyssey card, I'll pay for anything, man. So Mitch is always like, yeah, Groats, just pay for whatever you want. Go grab yourself a. You know what, Sean? Order a pizza right now. Get on that. So other than Paul Zerang is awesome, and my God, did the game sound good. How has the booth in general treated you, Pat Hughes, Zach Zaidman, Paul Zerang, whoever else is hanging out in that booth these days?
Just absolute professionals. I think that's, you know, obviously it comes through over the broadcast, and you can't take anything away from that. Zach does a phenomenal job. I mean, obviously he covers play-by-play a lot, but yesterday doing color in place of Rom was just absolutely amazing. And being able to see Pat, it's one thing to watch it on the radio, listen on the radio. But when you're right here in front of Pat, I actually text our boss, Mitch, and I was like, being able to hear him right in front of you, it's like you think you got a good radio voice until you hear Pat Hughes kind of. And you're like, oh, damn.
Well, and he doesn't stumble either like the rest of us.
Exactly. You know? Oh, I had a bunch of those yesterday. But, Grody, you know, I actually broadcasted from these booths during the 2016 championship run when I was over at B96, but no one was here.
Right.
So it's a completely different experience to see the stadium empty, watch it be filled with fans, and then get to experience the game. I mean, I don't want to say I'm a Cubs fan like that, right? I appreciate I'm trying to be apolitical and in the middle for everybody.
Right.
But I do have a different appreciation for this team, this organization, and this ballpark after what I experienced yesterday.
That's awesome. Shady Sears just gave a weird look when you said that thing about
the Cubs. Because
he
doesn't want me to be a part of the Cubs Nation. I understand.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't think that you deserve
it. He's jealous. That's what it is.
He's totally jelly.
He's jealous that I'm out
here. He's totally jelly. By the way, this is probably the best time as any to ask you, do you get a couple of wristbands for Lollapalooza? Are you empowered like that, or do I have to go through underground channels to get my Lollapalooza on?
You're Mark Grody, man.
You're Gabe Ramirez.
Flash a business card.
You're working for Hulu, man.
You just walk right
in there, first. All right. I'm going to the streets with it. I'll take it to the streets. Gabe, you're awesome, man. You're going to have a ball out there. Have a great day, man. There he goes. That is Gabe Ramirez. Always great to talk to Gabe. He's doing the pre- and post-game show, sounding silky smooth like he always does. And, again, Cubs and Red Sox. Just so cool to say. And it just looks pleasing, doesn't it? 1:20 today, 12:45 is the pregame. Stroman against James Paxton. When we come back, let's talk to Paul Sullivan. He's columnist for the Chicago Tribune on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.